Hello, everyone. I wanted to discuss something that's on my heart, and this is the best way for me to start that conversation. My name is Antonio Myers, as you already know. But for new listeners, my name is Antonio Myers. I am a Buddhist humanist. I'm a secular Buddhist, and I am a humanistic Buddhist. Secular Buddhism is a non-dogmatic way of understanding and practicing Buddhism. Secular Buddhism takes a pragmatic approach to explain and apply Buddhist teachings and is based on humanist values. I practice / teach secular Buddhism because it makes the most sense to me. I don't practice any religion. I don't do conservative theology. Humanistic Buddhism has been described in a Wikipedia review as focusing on caring for the living, working for the benefit of others, compassion, and altruism. It is concerned with issues of the world rather than on how to leave the world behind. It is concerned with benefiting others rather than oneself. It is an essentially optimistic belief in the core dignity of humans and their ability to transform themselves in a positive way. Similarly, Buddhist humanism is described also in a Wikipedia review as a philosophical perspective based on the inherent dignity of all humans, their interdependence, and creating harmony through relationships. It is expressed through actions that contribute to the welfare of society, human rights, world peace, and social justice. I also want to be honest about something. Yesterday, I was introduced to the concept of Christian atheism. I'll tell you my definition of it, but let me first tell you Wikipedia's definition of it. Christian atheism is a form of Christianity that rejects the theistic claims of Christianity, but draws its beliefs and practices from Jesus' life and / teachings as recorded in the New Testament Gospels and other sources. Okay, here's my definition of it. I take all the good character traits from all the alleged Christ figures who've ever lived. I take all the good from all religions. I take all the good from all denominations. I take all the good from all ideologies. I take all the good from all philosophies. I take all the good from all walks of life. The ones who have died, and the ones who are still alive, and the ones who are members of future generations. That is what Christ-likeness and God-likeness means to me. At the same time, due to what science has not said, has not confirmed as evidence or proof, I am not 100% certain about the theistic claims of any and all religions, any and all denominations. So am I Christ-like? Yes. Am I God-like? Yes. Christ-like, God-like are the same thing. But do I believe in a God that is depicted as a human rights abuser, a human rights violator in scripture? No. Am I open to the concept of God? As long as it can be scientifically be proven true as well as be proven to be scientifically accurate. Yes, I am open to the concept of God. Am I open to the concept of a Christ? As long as it can be scientifically be proven true and scientifically accurate, yes, I'm open to the concept of Christ. So, even last year, I privately identified myself as a Christian atheist. And like last year, or should I say earlier this year, I identified myself as agnostic Christian agnostic, Christian agnosticism. So a few months ago, I did identify as an agnostic Christian agnosticism. And that's an aspect of my life, who I am. But I also identify with Christian atheism in the sense that there's no religion to any of these definitions when it comes to me. It just means that I don't mind theism. What I do mind is the portrait of God in the Bible as a psychopath, sociopath, psychopath, narcissist, and a violent offender, and an abuser, and a victimizer, and a traumatizer, and bloodthirsty, and murderous. And bully, and assaulter, and harasser, and an intruder, and a stalker. There are human rights violations, human rights abuses in Scripture. Not just the Bible, but other scriptures of all the other religions. And I said, that's not what theism means to me. I reject that interpretation of theism. I'm open to theism as long as it can be scientifically be proven true and scientifically accurate. So, I know a lot of people will say, but then you keep a vow to your grandma that you never let go of Jesus. I did, and I still do. I just do not interpret him in any other supposed Christ figure the way traditionalists do. Because I am a non-traditionalist. Conventional people identify Jesus conventional ways. I define him in unconventional ways. I don't mind any supposed, I say supposed because I'm not 100% certain. That's why the same thing is saying ledge for me. I know for me, honestly, that if there was a historical Jesus, it would be nice if it was. I don't think he's anything that these traditionalists are saying. And the reason why I came to that point of view, I said it before, but let me expand on what I said before. Why did sex workers receive Jesus well? Why did tax collectors receive Jesus well? Why did women receive Jesus well? Why did children receive Jesus well? Why did people who were labeled with disabilities receive Jesus well? Why did the hungry, the medically afflicted, and the thirsty. Water to wine. Why did they all receive Jesus well? These people that were called sinners. Why? Were they drinking alcohol with Jesus? And it was not a problem for any of them, except the Pharisees, the religious hypocritical leaders of that time. That's what makes me think that he's nothing that the traditionalists are saying, because if he was that religious, none of these people would have liked him. When I say religious, I'm talking about Americanized Christianity of our modern time. Jesus is nothing like that. Americanized Christianity prevents many people in church from being who Jesus was according to the biblical canon and biblical theology. How did Jesus experience his effective speaking tour? Because he has speaking engagements in the synagogues. Why were they well received? My wholesome imagination tells me Jesus addressed the issues of the day that the religious leaders were sweeping under the rug. I am pretty sure that Jesus was well received by rape survivors. I am pretty sure that Jesus was well received by domestic violence survivors. I am pretty sure that Jesus was well received by intimate partner violence survivors. I'm pretty sure that Jesus was well received by both child abuse survivors and adult abuse survivors. My wholesome imagination tells me that men were not the only people at the synagogue. If you have crowds of men and women who usually publicly responded to Jesus the ways they did according to scripture, then my wholesome imagination tells me that whenever Jesus was at the synagogue, there was a female presence. A massive female presence there, not just men. Because some historians would say that girls cannot attend a synagogue, or whenever there was a rabbi preaching the sermon, usually females weren't there. I don't think that was true for Jesus. I think when Jesus was in town and he stood in front of people in their ancient form of a podium and preach in their ancient form of a pulpit, women were there. Girls were there. It's like, wait a minute. If you have a female presence when it comes to financially supplementing Jesus' ministry, how did they know he was a rabbi? Because they saw him teach. And if they saw him teach, they also saw him preach. So maybe there weren't a lot of women or girls, or no women or girls, when the other rabbis preached and taught. But when Jesus came to town, I'm pretty sure there was a large amount of trauma survivors and victimization survivors waiting to hear him. I don't need to have the Bible writers tell me everything about the life of Jesus, because it's common sense. In that time, abuse, trauma, victimization, what we call sex crimes in our modern time, what we call violent crimes in modern time happen to women and girls, even little boys. Way more to women and girls than the boys back in a patriarchal culture. So Jesus being respectful towards women in public and talking to them in public, even disciples were astonished because in that culture, they were thanking God that they were not made into a woman or a slave or a poor person or any other type of person they saw as other. That's what they said. And they would include women as a part of the people that they're thankful that they're not. Or they would say, I was also saying that Jesus had a way of making women and girls feel comfortable being of womanhood and girlhood because of this. I'm pretty sure, like I was saying, whenever Jesus spoke, he would talk to women in public. Pretty sure he talked to girls in public because in that culture that wasn't done. The disciples were astonished. But that proved to me that Jesus had a way of impacting people. I don't need the Bible writers to tell me everything he did and said. Plus they said they couldn't. But I'm not being preachy or churchy or anything like that. I'm just saying that Jesus is not what these religious people are saying he is in terms of this Republican supply side, Trumplican Christian television network type Jesus. I don't think so. I don't think Jesus sweeps rape and abuse and violence and harassment, stalking, intrusion, assaults, molestation, intimate partner violence, and domestic violence under the rug. He does not. He does none of those things. At all. It's not who he is. And I want to be real about that. I think about how Jesus being who he is, in terms of what I've read in scripture, I truly see why my identification of Christian atheism and Christian agnosticism stay intact. In the sense that when I study Christ figures, I noticed that they had an impact on people that doesn't resemble what I see in the four walls called church today. So I just want to thank you all for letting me speak.